All right. Well, thank you very much, Phil. And I'll try to get y'all on to the break here. I know everybody's ready to stretch their legs and grab a cup of coffee. So I do want to spend a few minutes to discuss some cotton results, mainly focused on tillage and two long-term tillage systems. Now, we've heard a lot about tillage and how important it is, but really, when we look at southeastern crop production, water is the limiting factor in what we do, whether it's cotton, peanuts, or corn, or any other crop. We still have to have water. And when you plot out several years, in this case, 7 years worth of data, when you get down on this low end, down around on dry land, you see the yield variability versus where you have irrigation up here where it says 100%, much more stable yield. So water is our limiting factor in the southeast, and it's not going away anytime soon. So what are our solutions to this problem? Well, of course, irrigation makes the most sense of having irrigation, and there's lots of studies out to describe the economics of irrigated versus non-irrigated, and this is not a talk to try to do that. What I do want to point out is that further expansion of large irrigation in the southeast is probably limited, especially in Georgia. We've got to learn to do more with less because we do have a political situation, and it's prevalent everywhere. It's out in Lubbock area and in the High Plains of Texas. Water, it's a political issue, and it's not going away, and it's not getting any better. So we have to learn to do more with less. And how are we going to do that? Well, one way is to use scheduling tools, something like Irrigator Pro or UGA's EasyPan system, and there's numerous other irrigation decision aids out there that can help you decide. So we've got to do more with less with our irrigation. One of our other solutions is conservation tillage, and you've heard a good bit about conservation tillage already today, whether it's sod-based conservation systems or strip tillage, or Phil gave an excellent talk describing his work with conservation tillage. We know conservation tillage increases infiltration and it decreases runoff. But what about increased plant available water? That's really the question we all want to know is, can it really help us? We see sometimes yield increases, but why is that caused? Is it truly caused by an increase in plant available water? Is there something else going on? And also, I put this down here with a question mark, altered crop physiology. Does conservation tillage do something to the plant to change its actual physiological uptake and use of water? And really won't get around into that. That's another presentation, but we are exploring some of these things currently. And last, I put genetic engineering, and I won't try to talk about that, but that is on the horizon as genetically modified crops that have some sort of stress resistance built in. So with that in mind, to try to solve some of these water issues, in 2001 and maybe early 2002, the Hooks Hanner Environmental Resource Center was established in Dawson, Georgia. This is a collaboration between ARS, the state of Georgia, the Georgia Soil and Water Conservation Commission. They have an office. They donated this land that you see here for our use, for the sole purpose of studying the interactions of tillage and water, and dedicated to trying to help solve some of these problems. And so we've been working at this farm ever since. I've been there since 2004. It was started by Kip Balcom, who you've already heard from, in 2002. The main focus of this center, and there's several other research projects there, but the one I've been involved with most is begun in 2002, and really look at the interaction of tillage and irrigation. There's three tillage systems: conventional tillage, which you'll see from here on is in colored in red using CT, strip tillage, always in green with a ST, and no-till, started in 2005. And originally there were two forms of strip tillage, a wide strip tillage and a narrow strip tillage, but we changed that in 2005 to really focus in on the three extremes here, fully tilled, partly tilled, and then not tilled at all. And the unique aspect of this project is that the tillage has been maintained for this whole duration. Each plot, as it follows through the three crop rotation, always is in its particular tillage regime. So we're beginning to establish a long-term tillage. Just a quick look at the plots. You can see on the left-hand side, no-till plots. You can see a lot of residue, a lot of volunteer peanuts, as the cotton always follows peanuts. And here you can see the strips on the strip till. And here you see the conventional tillage plots. Now, conventional tillage is sometimes plagued by other things, not just water, but you can see here what happens when a heavy flight of thrips comes in and can really do a lot of damage early in the season compared to some of our cover crop plots. So looking at the cotton performance, we'll start with 2006. I'm not going to try to present all this data. We'll look at 3 years where it's been very dry. In wet years, we don't have a difference in our yields between conventional tillage and strip tillage. It's a wash. And that's what we would expect. It's under limited or constrained water situations that we have a difference. So I want to point that out, and that's when we need to emphasize conservation tillage. We look at cotton yields in 2006. Again, I'll point out all these graphs are going to be about the same. Cotton lint yield, and this is irrigation amount. This is amount of a recommended amount. In other words, we have a decision system, Irrigator Pro. If it says irrigate an inch, then 100% got 1 inch. The 66% got 2/3 of an inch, and so on. So it's just a step-down progression. Conventional tillage in the red, no-till in the yellow, and strip-till in the green. And we see that the conventional tillage has a nice linear response to irrigation as you decrease irrigation going from left to right. I'm going to have some areas and bars. These are statistically different yields, and you see under a slightly limited water situation, the conservation tillage plots, whether no-till or strip-till, did yield more. Cotton yield 2007, again, I point out, fully irrigated, we don't have a difference. The cotton performs equally well, maybe a slight advantage, but not a statistical advantage, but it's at these limited water situations that we begin to really see a difference. And in this year, even the dry land, there was no difference. I guess there's a threshold at which we reached during this particular season, but definitely an advantage to strip tillage or no-till. In 2008, very similar. When we have plenty of water, we don't see a difference. We don't see a response. But at a very limited water situation, say down here at 33%, and again at dry land, we see a great advantage to having strip tillage. So a great risk mitigation tool to have strip tillage when you have limited water situations. So why do we see this response? Well, is there really more plant available water under these conservation tillage systems? It would seem so from the yield, but that's not been confirmed a whole lot in the literature. What are the ways we quantify plant available moisture? One way is to use watermarks. A lot of you are familiar with watermarks. Here's a bank of three watermarks newly installed in a cotton field. That's what they look like. If you're not familiar, it's a gypsum block. It measures soil resistance. In other words, how hard is it for the plant to take water out of the soil? And one reason we also use this is because we use Irrigator Pro software, and it uses watermarks. As you can see here, you plug in watermark readings from three depths, and it runs an algorithm and tells you whether or not you should water based on the growth stage of the cotton and environmental factors. So looking at 8-inch watermark data, and I'll remind you, if you're not familiar, higher is drier because that means it takes more energy to remove the water from the soil. And you look at conventional tillage, you can definitely see every time we have a rainfall event or irrigation what happens. The water drops, fills back up, and the soil resistance is lowered. No-till, very similar. And strip-till has some rather high spikes. So you would think, well, strip-till may not be keeping that water in the soil. And you look at 16-inch data, and it's very similar. There's conventional till, no-till, and strip-till. And it definitely looks like no-till and strip-till are staying wetter at some point in the season. But the question I always wondered, is that truly wetter soil, or does that just mean or more water in the soil available, or does it mean more plant uptake? And that's what I want to spend the rest of the time on, is talking about looking at plant uptake. Another tool we used is the profiler system from Delta T and Dynamax, and this is their picture. I'll give them credit for that. But this is a capacitance probe. You insert a sleeve down in the soil to 100 centimeters, a meter deep, and then you go back with this probe and stick it in there, and it gives you an instantaneous reading of the soil moisture across the whole profile. So it's very nice. It gives you a snapshot all the way down to 1 meter. And again, this data looks very similar to the watermark. Now, this is true volumetric water content, so higher is wetter. But again, you look at the difference between conventional till and strip till, and you see differences, and you say, well, strip till is a little wetter here, drier here. What does that mean? Is it really using more water? Is there more water there for the plants? And you look at the 60 centimeter depth and say the very same thing. What exactly is going on with these readings? So wanted to try to isolate that, and I made a big error on my slide here. When you look at volumetric water content, it's the amount of water in the soil, and this should be minus evaporation and minus transpiration. I got in a hurry, I guess, and did that. So that's how that equation works. It's the what's in the soil minus what you lose from evaporation minus what the plant is using. That's the reading you're getting. So if we could somehow isolate this transpiration, then we could know how much the plants are using in theory. And so here you can see that profiler. It's got a rubber cap on it, and you come back and you stick that probe in there, and it's right along in line with the cotton, so we can definitely see what's going on. So we came up with this idea that we could take a sensor and put it where there weren't any plants, but yet subjected to the same tillage systems, and hopefully that the difference between the soil moisture reading here minus the soil moisture reading in the row would be that transpiration. And there's a lot of factors in there that you could account for, but we wanted to take a simple approach and see how it worked. So basically, a plant available water would be the water content of the blank minus the water content of the in-row sensor. And I want to point out how that worked out. So here we're looking at 60 centimeter depth in the profile, and the green bar is the blank, in other words, the area without the plant. The yellow bar is the in-row, so in other words, surrounded by plants, subjected to their immediate forces. And we see pretty much what we suspected, that at some point around August the 1st, we begin to see a differentiation where the blank has more water in it than the in-row. And what could that probably be to? And it's shading effect of the canopy. And here you can see the blank, and you can see, it may not be very clear from afar, but these little light places, that's a little bit of light coming through. So we're getting some light interception, and I know if you wanted to be technical, maybe you should put some cheesecloth or something over the top of this to really prevent evaporation. But on a 36-inch row, we're getting near canopy coverage even over some of our blank spaces. So evaporation is an issue early on, but not near as much of an issue later on. And again, this is not an absolute comparison. We just wanted to find a relative comparison to find a relative measure of plant water use. So looking back at this 60 centimeter depth again, and this is a little bit of a busy slide, but I think you'll find it interesting. Looking at volumetric water content, this line is the blank. So there's no plant surrounding this volumetric water content. The solid line would be subjected to the plants. This is the in-row, and you can definitely see there again, about August, the 1st of August, the first week of August, we get canopy coverage, and then we see that differentiation. And we can make a pretty good assumption, I think, that the difference between these two lines, the area between these curves, is the amount that the plants are actually using. And this is going to get a little busy, but that was conventional tillage. You can look at strip tillage, and all the values go up. And the differences remain that about the first week of August, you begin to see a differentiation, and the differences between these two lines give us an idea of what is going on in the soil. Now, there's a better way to plot this than looking at it this way, and what you basically do is you subtract those two values. So the next few slides will be set up similarly. This is the percent difference. And here's a conventional tillage. That's the difference between the blank and the in-row, and this is the strip tillage. Again, the difference between the blank and the in-row. There's our 0% point. So anything above that means there's water that the plant can use. Anything below that means that there's a deficit, that the plant is actually under drought stress. So we see here that at the 10 centimeter depth, which is not very deep, that's only about 4 inches, we don't see a whole lot of differences, and we wouldn't expect that. At 4 inches, there's not a whole lot of root action. Most of what we see is probably subject to evaporation from the surface. But if we look at 30 centimeters, and again, I put our zero point in there for your reference, we see that we begin to see the strip till has much more available water at the time when the plants need it. Here you're looking at about 40 to 60 days, and whereas the conventional till are undergoing drought stress, and I should point out this is dry land only. We segregated that out. The strip till have plenty of water available. And then they catch back up to each other, and they all go through a time of water need there around the first 2 weeks of August. But then later on in the season, as we approach bowl filling, when we're really trying to fill up those bowls, we see that the strip till again seems to have an advantage. At a little deeper, at 60 centimeters, this is about 2 feet down, we see pretty much the same thing. A lot more green on top of the bar than below the bar. And then at the end of the season, there seems to be plenty of water in the profile for both of them. But down here, when we really need it, we seem to be having an advantage to strip tillage. So there is more plant available water there, and our yield results seem to back that up. Looking at conventional tillage this time in the blue, strip till in the green, when we have plenty of water, irrigation amount 100%, we see no differentiation. You know, 2.5 bale cotton, everybody's happy. But when we have a constrained water situation, when we have dry land, that's where it plays out, and that's where it really makes a difference. And we see a large yield differential between strip till and conventional till. With that, I'll try to wrap it up and answer any questions. I do want to thank the Georgia Cotton Commission. They have funded this research for the past 4 years, and we couldn't have done it without their support. So I thank you, and try to answer any questions.
Yeah, we're going into break. Go ahead. If you got questions.
Everybody's ready for break. Thank you.